Throughout the centuries, artists have rendered the Annunciation, the birth of Jesus, in very formal strokes, so to speak. If you Google artwork around the Annunciation, you'll see what I mean. Preserving Mary and the angel Gabriel in pristine and slender awe. Mary is always the picture, the perfect picture of femininity, dressed in yards and yards of silk, her golden hair plaited like a crown around her head, her nails perfectly manicured. She looks so composed that it's hard to remember that she's just a girl. In her early teens, in all likelihood, who probably wasn't wearing yards and yards of silk, whose hair probably wasn't golden, who has precious little experience with men or angels or even the world for that matter. In most pictures, the feathers of the angel Gabriel are spread in a great arc of magnificent white like this. In his hand, he usually holds a lily or an olive branch or a royal scepter, signs of purity, peace, and authority that he is bringing from above to announce to whole Mary and to the whole world. And somewhere in the Annunciation scene, you can usually find a dove located someplace in the picture, a sign that everything that is happening is taking place under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. This was all foreseen. But down below, you see, down below in the painting, everything depends really on Mary. Gabriel is not standing over her as an imposing figure. He is kneeling in front of her, opening up the answer and hoping the answer will be, yes, I will be glad to do this for God and for the entire creation. But Mary didn't really get to give an answer, did she? Not in any real sense. The angel didn't ask her if she would like to be the mother of God, what she thought about it, would it be okay? He simply told her that God had been gracious to her. Wow, some kind of grace. That she would bear a son and that he would be the king of Israel forever and ever. And upon his throne there would be no end. The angel didn't ask how that sounded to her, what she thought of it. All that Luke tells us is that Mary was perplexed by his words. That's the understatement, perplexed. She did what any one of us would do. She asked the angel, how can this possibly be? How can this be? She wanted to know exactly whose idea it was and exactly how things would transpire and happen. She wanted to make sense out of what made no sense. That God had decided to surrender himself to flesh and blood, to a teenage girl, that he needed her help to make his own incarnation possible, that the big bang of the universe, the one behind everything, the stars, the galaxies, needed her to be born into his world. How can this be? Mary asked. And that's all she asked. But there are several questions that I would have asked, such as, is Joseph going to stick around when he hears about this? Will my friends stand by me, or will they gossip behind my back? You know, she's pregnant and it's not Joseph's. Or will I get dragged into town and be stoned for sleeping around? What will the neighbors think? What will happen to me? You know, sure, I'm the favored one, but it doesn't sound like a big favor to me. But she didn't ask any of those questions. None of those. She just listened. She listened to the angel as the angel shared the barest bones of details about how all this was going to come to pass. I like that word. It came to pass. As one of my friends used to say, Stephen, it never says in the Bible it came to stay. It came to pass. But you see, Mary still had a choice here, whether to say yes or whether to say no. Whether to take hold of the unknown life that the angel offered her or whether to defend herself against it. So many of us are afraid of the future. We live now in a society that is filled with fear of what could happen if I say the wrong thing or I act the wrong way. What will people say about me? Is it possible to say no to God's messengers? It happens all the time, really. It does. We say no all the time. All you have to do is say no, drop your eyes, and refuse to look up until you're sure the angel has left the room, till the messenger that came is gone, Messenger won't browbeat you, won't demand of you, simply comes and says, you're the favored one. God has chosen you. And then you're back in your room again, or in your room or house, all alone. And then you just go back to whatever it was that you were doing and simply pretend that nothing ever happened, because nothing ever does. Nothing miraculous ever occurs. Nothing out of the ordinary still happens. And you still have several options left at your disposal here to defend against the onslaught of an angel such as Gabriel. You can be stoic about it. You can just say, you know, that's the way the world is, and I'm going to live the way the world lives. You can refuse to accept it by putting all of your energy into ignoring that tug that comes at the middle of the night to you in your heart and in your gut. Now, if that doesn't work, if none of those options keep you away, then you still have one option left. You can become angry, comparing yourself to everybody else whose life seems happier than yours, or more fulfilled than yours, or better than yours, or that life is so far unfair to you. You can become bitter. That's another option too. However, even if you succeed at this life, even if you succeed at doing this, your life will not be in any easier way to live. But you can rest assured that no angel will trouble you again, that that sacred moment came and went. Or you can do as Mary did. You can say yes and hold your breath and wonder at what this all means as she pondered these things in her heart. You can decide to be a daredevil, a test pilot, an adventurer. You can decide to go where no man has gone before, to quote from Star Trek. You can set down your routine and listen to this strange creature's idea that's speaking to you. You can decide to take part in the plan that you didn't choose, wondering where it's going to take you next, doing things you didn't know that you knew how to do for reasons you don't entirely understand, because that's the nature of faith. Faith calls us to explore life, not to know the answers as we go forth in it. You can take part in a thrilling and a dangerous scheme with no scripts, no guarantees whatsoever. You can agree to smuggle God into the world inside of your own body, as Mary did. You can agree to be part of the incarnation of what God is doing. You can agree to these things, or you can ignore them. By the way, if you choose to say yes, it doesn't mean that you won't be afraid from time to time, or that things won't be bumpy for you. God never promised us a rose garden. Just promised us an abundance of life, manure and all. It just means that you're not willing to let your fear stop you, which is what so many people do today. They let fear get in the way. They get paralyzed by fear rather than faith. So you say, yes, here I am. Let it be according to your words, as Mary did. And in doing this, you become like Mary, someone who puts their lives in the service of the Lord, someone who says yes and is willing to see what the Lord has that's miraculously in mind, even though you don't know for sure. We are all meant to be in the service of the Lord. That's why we believe in the Protestant Church and the Presbyterian Church, in what we call the priesthood of all believers, that it's not the ordained minister himself or herself, but all of us that are ordained to do the call of God, to listen to it, to follow it. Meister Eckhart, who is a great Christian mystic and theologian, said this of the incarnation. I love it. He said, what good is it to me, he continued, if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly but does not take place within myself? What happens if we celebrate this birth every year like we do, but it never gets into us and we're never different and we're never changed? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace but I am not? What good is it? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son if I do not also give birth to him in my own time and in my own place and my own culture? What good is it? This then is the fullness of time when the Son of God is begotten by us, Meister Eckhart says. This is what it means to be in the fullness of God's time. To quote the angel, greetings, favored ones. Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with each and every one of you, each and every one of you. Do not be afraid, for nothing will be impossible with God. This day I bring you glad tidings of great joys, of a good news that is going to happen throughout the entire earth. Do you want to be part of it? Amen.